that aside. And would you take your Bible with me to turn to Judges chapter 4. Judges chapter 4. Next week, next Sunday. Anybody know what next Sunday is? Mother's Day. So be a little nicer to a mother. Whether your mother or a mother, be nicer to them. And let them know you appreciate them. We should let them know every day. Amen. Appreciate my wife, my mom, other ladies who love the Lord. Appreciate their influence in lives today. Well, we want to look at not necessarily a mother. She doesn't say in the Bible that she had kids, but it does say she was married. And we want to look in Judges chapter 4. We're going to read verses 1 to verse number, let's see. Yeah, just verse number 4 at this time. Just verse number 4. And if you'll follow along as I read for us here. And the children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord when Ehud was dead. And the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan, that reigned in Hazor, the captain of whose host was Sisera, which dwelt in Harosheth of the Gentiles. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, for he had 900 chariots of iron, and 20 years he mightily oppressed the children of Israel. And Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lappidoth, she judged Israel at that time. Here we read about a dear lady, and a lady who is formidable, as we're going to find out. I would call her a warrior. Her and another lady in this chapter talked about in Scripture seemed to stand out amongst all the other ladies in Scripture, how they were in the fight when it came to Israel and some of the enemies that they had to deal with. Deborah, the Bible tells us, was used mightily of God. Though she's not mentioned in a lot of other places, this chapter, there is another Deborah in the Bible, but this is the one that we look to as the judge, that Deborah used as a judge. She was known for her faith in God's ability to bring victory and for exhorting others to trust God too. I'd like to take a few moments to look at her life, Deborah. We've been looking at a few people in the Bible in the next few weeks. Perhaps we'll spend time doing that. But tonight we want to look at Deborah. Get a little of a heads up on Mother's Day. We'll be talking about ladies particularly that day, of course. But tonight we want to look at Deborah's life and how God can use her example in ours. So before we go into God's Word, would you bow with me and I'll pray and we'll ask the Lord to help us. Father, thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you, Lord, for great people in Scripture that we can read about like Deborah and others, Lord, who are faithful to you and can have an impact on our lives today. We pray, Father, as we look at them, help us to see what they reflect of you, the character, the personality, the trust, Lord, that we can put in you as they reflect you. Lord, help us to see that even tonight. And then to examine ourselves, dear Lord, is there an area that we need to bring before you tonight that needs your help, that we need to bring and see you do a mighty work in too? We thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Where and when? Deborah, some of her background. Where and when? Some of her background. Deborah lived during the time of the judges, which is roughly around 300 years after Joshua and that generation passed on to the time of Samuel, and he began by God's direction to start the kingdom era, roughly 300 years. Deborah was the fifth judge. So the people were well aware of how God was going to use people. Unfortunately, what they tended to do, what was the cycle that they got in when the judge was leading the people, they followed the Lord, they at least had God's favor. And then somewhere along the line, that judge would pass away. And the Bible says after that, what would the people do? They would do that which is right in their own eyes. Oftentimes that's repeated in the book of Judges. And so here they were after the most recent judge, Ehud, and the king in Canaan named Jabin. He took opportunity there. He said, well, they got noble leaders, and we've got all kinds of an army, and we're going to go and conquer them. And they did. For 20 years, the Bible says that there in verse number 2, They harassed them mightily, verse 3, oppressed the children of Israel for 20 years. 20 years. How many of you imagine having a president who you didn't like for 20 years? Where do you think our country would be after that? Wow, things would be a lot different, wouldn't they? Think about that with Israel. You know, there was no real call to worship the Lord. There was constant enemies trying to make life difficult for you day by day, and the discouragement would have been great. Her name, Deborah, means a bee, or productive. Someone who is somewhat industrial, I guess she was known for that. As we saw in verse 4, her husband, who's only named here, never, not anywhere else, Lapidoth. I don't know what that means, but I'm glad Mark is my name, not Lapidoth, but that's one of the Bible names, so praise the Lord. I'm sure he was a man who loved the Lord too. She was also something interesting, the Bible says. Take a look in verse number 4 again. The Bible says, Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth, she judged Israel at that time. Prophetess. What is a prophetess? Well, a prophetess is the female version of a prophet. And a prophet was a spokesman for God. At those times in Israel, prophets, God used them to share his truth, to maybe to share an event that was coming up that they need to prepare for. Also share that God's judgment could be on its way if they don't turn back to him, etc. Prophets would do that. And a prophetess would be a woman who God used in ways like that. Take a look at verse number 6 and 7. Well, let me read verse 5 as well. And she dwelt under the palm tree of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in Mount Ephraim. And the children of Israel came up to her for judgment. And she sent and called Barak, the son of Abinoam, out of Kadesh Naphtali, and said unto him, Hath not the Lord God of Israel commanded, saying, Go and draw toward Mount Tabor, and take with thee 10,000 men of the children of Naphtali and of the children of Zebulun. And I will draw unto thee to the river Kishon Sisera, the captain of Jabin's army, which his chariots and his multitude, and I will deliver him into thine hand. That's quite a prophecy, wouldn't you say? Here they are, 20 years, they've been oppressed. They haven't been able to get Jabin and Sisera here as well off their back. And all of a sudden, Deborah says, God tells me to tell you, get the guys together, find 10,000 people, and you're going to have victory. You're going to have victory. God is going to take care of them. Prophetess. There are some prophetesses other than Deborah in the Bible. Here's a few of them. Miriam, Moses and Aaron's sister, was a prophetess. Exodus 15 calls her a prophetess. Of course, Deborah. Huldah, who was during the time of the kings, in 2 Kings chapter 22, she was used of God to share truth to the kings at the time. There's an unnamed prophetess in Isaiah chapter 8, who was associated with Isaiah's prophet school. I believe the Bible says that she gave birth. She was his wife at the time. And Isaiah 8 calls her a prophetess. Luke chapter 2, anybody know a prophetess in Luke chapter 2? Anna was called a prophetess. God used her to share his truth. Deacon Philip in Acts chapter 21 calls his daughters, his four daughters. It says they prophesied is what it says, and we can presume that that's kind of the way God used them as well. He calls them people who prophetize. There were also false prophetesses. As there are false prophets in the scripture, there are false prophetesses. And a couple of them specifically. There's one named in Nehemiah 6. Remember what was going on in Nehemiah? What was he doing? Building the wall, kind of coming back to the city and by God's grace, bringing a revival to the land. Nehemiah 6 names a lady named Noadiah, and she tried to make Nehemiah afraid to follow God's plan. She was along with the enemy. She was a false prophetess. And then Revelation 2, probably the most well-known false prophetess in Scripture, Jezebel. Jezebel. The Bible calls her Jezebel. She may have had a proper name, but she had that personality, that character. And she taught people in the Thyatira church to commit immorality and participate in idolatrous worship, specifically through using the meat with the idea that that's what they were going to worship as well, is what it indicates. So there are prophetesses, there are false prophetesses, and Deborah was certainly one that was right with the Lord. She was a righteous lady. She was a spokeswoman for God to Israel. Barak, who the two are connected in Scripture, Barak, who was also part of that duo, later on he became, I believe, part of that duo, was a relied on Deborah more than he relied on God. He was a well-known man in the land. Whether he was part of the judgeship at the time, it doesn't really indicate that, but he was a man of renown. And take a look at verse number 8 with me, if you will. So Deborah had told him, here's what God's going to do. You get the guys together, you're going to have victory. Verse number 8. And Barak said unto her, if thou wilt go with me, then I will go. But if thou wilt not go with me, then I will what? Not go. Not go. And all the guys said, come on, get a backbone, buddy. But he looked at the numbers. You know, I'm convinced he was looking at, okay, on paper, this doesn't work out. Deborah, did you know they've got hundreds of thousands of guys? They have all these chariots. They've got all these soldiers. Did you know that's what they have on their side? And so in his mind, whatever it was that drew him to say that, it's recorded in Scripture for us. He relied on not God, but Deborah, more than he relied on God. These are some things we see about her as we start to look at her in Judges chapter 4. Let's take a look again at some of the choices that we see in chapter 4 and 5 she made for God. Verse number 1 tells us that Deborah chose to follow God when others would not. When others would not. Take a look again at verse 1. The children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord. And then it mentions, of course, verse 4, Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth, she judged Israel at the time. She chose to follow what God said instead of what the nation, at least in general, was doing at the time. Again, how many years were they under Canaanite rule? 20 years, long time. And it seems that she stood out in the nation at the time. She also chose, secondly, Deborah chose to exhort others to trust God for victory. We're in chapter number 4. Take a look again. We read of Barak. He said, I'm not going unless you go. You're my good luck charm. Look at verse number 9. And she said, I will surely go with thee. Notwithstanding, the journey that thou takest shall not be for thine honor. For the Lord shall sell Sisera into the hand of a woman. And Deborah arose and went with Barak to Kadesh. And Barak called Zebulun and Naphtali to Kadesh, and he went up with 10,000 men at his feet, and Deborah went up with him. The Bible tells us that she was willing to go, but she said this, God's going to get the victory. He said he's going to use a woman, but notice her words, for the Lord. For the Lord shall sell Sisera. And by the way, was she speaking of herself? Let's find out. We're going to read to the end of the chat, or we're going to get to the end and find out, was she speaking of herself or somebody else? But she chose to exhort others to trust God for victory. Have you had to do that recently? You know, sometimes it's good for somebody to tell us, remember, God can win in the end. God does win in the end. Amen. Yes. God does win in the end, but we need to trust him right now when it looks like the battle's in the balance. And then we see in chapter 5, if you go there to the end of the chapter, verse 31, another thing she chose to do and was willing to continue to do, she co-judged Israel, and there was rest 40 years. Was she part of the judges 40 years time there? We don't know. That's a long time for people to have lived through that, but yet we know that she was part of that. So let all thine enemies, she says, this is a song, the end of the song in chapter 5, after the victory. So let all thine enemies, O Lord, but let them that love him be as the sun when he goeth forth in his might. And the land had rest 40 years. We saw some choices she made. We saw some background from her. What about the results from her choices? What happened as a result of these things she did? If you go back to chapter 4, take a look at verse number 2. The background of the battle. Israel, the Bible tells us, was delivered from a man named Jabin, the king of Canaan. It says in verse 2 again, it mentions him. They were under the hand, and the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan, that reigned in Hazor, the captain of whose host was Sisera, which dwelt in Horesheth of the Gentiles. Now take a look at verse 23. So God subdued on that day Jabin, the king of Canaan, before the children of Israel. The beginning of the chapter, he was in charge. At the end of the chapter, God's in charge. Amen. God's in charge. And the Bible tells us that part of that was from her choice. Her choice also led to a result of this. Israel prospered under her and Barak's leadership. Take a look at verse number 24. Again, the Bible tells us, and the hand of the children of Israel prospered and prevailed against Jabin, the king of Canaan, until they had destroyed Jabin, king of Canaan. They destroyed him, and the indication is everything that he had done was wiped out too. Everything he had built and done was wiped out too, at least in the land of Israel, and God used the people under Hur and Barak's leadership. Another result, Deborah's faith is memorialized for believers to consider today. Go with me, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. And as you know, Hebrews 11, we often call it the Hall of Faith. It mentions many people in Scripture who were faithful to God. We read about them, and they're memorialized, in a sense, honored, so that we can be reminded that a faithful life is blessed of God and honored by the Lord. Verse number 32 is where we want to go. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and Jephthah, of David also and Samuel and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. And it goes on to share more thoughts about that. You say, where is Deborah in that? Who's always associated with Deborah in the Scriptures? Except for here in this verse, Barak. Yeah, brings to mind her faithfulness as well. But God certainly honored them both. Her faith is memorialized for believers to consider today. What are some lessons for the Christian today? What can we put into practice as we look in her life? Well, a couple things. I think there's a lot, and you could probably come up with more than I have, but take a look at verse number 9 back in Judges chapter 4. Judges chapter 4. Let me mention this. As Deborah was used of God to lead the people, God used another lady to finish the job, at least with Sisera. Take a look in verse 17 of Judges chapter 4. Verse 17. You know what? Let's read this chapter. Why not? You're probably thinking, why don't we just read the whole thing? Well, let's do it. Let's do it. But here's what we're going to do. We're going to read responsively, starting in verse number 11. Verse number 11. So I'll read verse 11. You read verse 12. Back and forth we'll go. And we'll finish there at the end of the chapter, verse 24. So let me start with verse 11, Judges 4. Now Heber the Kenite, which was of the children of Hobab, the father-in-law of Moses, had severed himself from the Kenites and pitched his tent under the plain of Zaanaim, which is by Kadesh. And Sisera gathered together all his chariots, even 900 chariots of iron, and all the people that were with him, from Harosheth of the Gentiles unto the river of Kishon.
And Deborah said unto Barak, for this is the day in which the Lord hath delivered Sisera into thine hand. Is not the Lord gone out before thee? So Barak went down from Mount Tabor, and 10,000 men after him.
And the Lord discomfited Sisera and all his chariots and all his host with the edge of the sword before Barak, so that Sisera lighted down off his chariot and fled away on his feet.
But Barak pursued after the chariots and after the hosts and all the hosts of Sisera fell upon the edge of the sword, and there was not a man left.
Howbeit Sisera fled away on his feet to the tent of Jael, the wife of Heber the Kenite. For there was peace between Jabin, the king of Hazor, and the house of Heber the Kenite.
And Jael went out to meet Sisera, and said unto him, Turn in, my lord, turn in to me, fear not. And when he had turned in unto her into the tent, she covered him with a mantle.
And he said unto her, Give me, I pray thee, a little water to drink, for I am thirsty. And she opened a bottle of milk, and gave him drink, and covered him.
Again he said unto her, Stand in the door of the tent, and it shall be, when any man doth come and inquire of thee, and say, Is there any man here? Thou shalt say, No.
Then Jael, Heber's wife, took a nail of the tent, and took an hammer in her hand, and went softly unto him, and smote the nail into his temples, and fastened it into the ground. For he was fast asleep and weary, so he died.
And behold, as Jared pursued Sisera, Jael came out to meet him, and said unto him, Come, and I will show thee the man whom thou seekest. And when he came into her tent, behold, Sisera lay dead, and the nail was in his temples.
So God subdued on that day Jabin, the king of Canaan, before the children of Israel.
And the hand of the children of Israel prospered, and prevailed against Jabin, the king of Canaan, until they had destroyed Jabin, the king of Canaan.
Okay, thank you. How would you like to be this lady's husband who came home? Heber. So what you been doing today, honey? Wow. Wow, what a story. And she was quite a warrior. But why did she do that? You know, she believed God was going to get the victory. And she proved it. She proved it. In fact, chapter 5 tells us that not only did she put the nail through him, but his head fell off. So that tells you kind of how the scene was there. Not one that I would want to envision necessarily, but she made sure there was victory. The Bible tells us that God used these ladies specifically. What are some lessons? What are some lessons? Verse number 9, if we go there once more again, please. Verse 9 says, And she said, this is Deborah, I will surely go with thee, notwithstanding the journey that thou takest shall not be for thine honor, for the Lord shall sell Sisera into the hand of a woman. And Deborah arose and went with Barak to Kadesh. Here's a lesson for us today. Glorify God when desperate times come. Glorify God when desperate times come. Are we in desperate times? For some folks, we are. For others, it seems it's a little less desperate, perhaps. But the truth of the matter is, things have been so uncertain, in the news at least. I don't know where people turn if they don't turn to God.
That's right.
I don't know who they look to for that peace, that calm in the midst of the storm, and God can certainly provide it. And these ladies did, Deborah and Jael too. Here's another lesson. Spiritual defeat looks inevitable without looking to Christ. Spiritual defeat looks inevitable without looking to Christ. 20 years these folks were under the oppression of this wicked king, and nobody stood up against him in that amount of time. You know, he had all this military built up. He had a great general to follow through. But God says, listen, even in the midst of the storms, I can be a help to you. Matter of fact, there's somebody that we can read about where Jesus actually did that. Would you go to Matthew chapter 14, please? Matthew chapter 14. You might have guessed who we're going to look at here. So here in Matthew 14, we'll get you up to speed a little bit. Jesus told his disciples, I want you to go across the Sea of Galilee. I'll meet you over there. And while they were in the boat, a storm rose up. Seasoned sailors thought they were going to die. While they were in the midst of the storm, could not get out of it, who did they see walking out in the water? There was Jesus. And Peter stood up and said, if it's you, Lord, would you bid me come? And he did. Take a look at verse number 29. This is as he was stepping out in the boat. We're in Matthew chapter 14, verse 29. And he said, that is Jesus, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. Lord, save me. You know, oftentimes we kind of get on Peter's back, but there's two things he did do that the other disciples didn't. One thing is he called out to Jesus first. If it's you, would you bid me come? And then he, by faith, stepped on that water. Even though it was little faith, Jesus said, he stepped out. As he began to see the waters, he thought, oh man, I'm going down. And this could be it. But instead of calling out for the disciples, would you throw me a rope? If you were going down and you had guys in a boat, wouldn't that be the first thing you would do? You'd look around and say, could you throw me a rope? I'm not going to make it. What's the first thing he did? Lord, save me. Lord, save me. Hey, praise God. He's available at any time, and even in spiritual storms. It looks like defeat's inevitable if we don't look to Christ. But spiritual victory can only be done when we do look to Christ. Turn with me, if you would, Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Verse number 1 and 2 of Hebrews 12 says this, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. We just read about all these faithful people. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Spiritual victory can only be done when looking to Christ. Deborah looked to the Lord, looked to God. She looked to God. She proclaimed his truth. She encouraged others to follow it. Barak led a military campaign without a national army. Think about that. He couldn't put out the word and say, okay, all of the Marines, I want you to come. All the Army and the Air Force, I want you guys to meet. No, he said, get your brothers and uncles and everybody else and get them down here. The weather, the Bible tells us in chapter 5, God had a hand in that with weather. Let's take a look at that. Chapter 5 of Judges. Look at verse number 21. Chapter 4, the Bible says the Lord discomfited Sisera and his chariots. How did he do it? It's pointed out. It gives us a clue here in verse 21 and 22 of chapter number 5. Let me start in verse 19. The kings came and fought. Then fought the kings of Canaan in Taanach by the waters of Megiddo. They took no gain of money. They fought from heaven. The stars in their courses fought against Sisera. The river of Kishon swept them away. That ancient river, that river of Kishon. O my soul, thou hast trodden down strength. Then were the horse hooves broken by the means of the prancings of their mighty ones. Bible indicates God brought some type of deluge to keep their chariots from being usable, and it was from God. There's no doubt about it. In chapter 4, it mentions him, and this is one way. Now, this particular time of the year would have been a dry season. According to the scriptures, it would have been a dry season. So they couldn't say, well, you know, it was rainy that time of year. No, this was all the Lord that helped win the victory. And then, of course, Jael, she executed God's justice in a very real way. The Bible tells us spiritual victory is available, but you know, we have to trust the Lord that he's got the victory. Yeah. We have to trust in him. Spiritual defeat looks inevitable if we don't look to Christ. Look to the Savior. Say, Jesus, what would you have me do now? And when he tells you, by the way, when he tells you, what should we do? When Jesus tells you to do something, do it. Do it. Be a follower of the Lord. And spiritual victory can be done when we look to him, even tonight. Is there a battle going on in your life? Could be spiritual, could be financial, could be relational, whatever the Lord has you in right now, God's got victory. That would bring glory to Him.
Yes.
Sometimes the idea that we think is somehow I need to get glory. No, God needs to get the glory out of it and not us, and be willing to accept that. And yet God has a way to help us through the times as well. Would you look to Him? Deborah did, and she's honored in Scripture. We don't know anything about her after that. Again, I don't know if she had kids or anything like that, but you know, these are one of those people that you look forward to meeting in heaven. Great people of God. But God wants us to learn from some of their example to us tonight. Heavenly Father, thank You for being the Lord, for being the master of all things.
Yeah.
And dear God, I pray, help us to recognize that. Whether we acknowledge it or not, You are the Lord. And we ask, dear Heavenly Father, to examine our lives, as we examine our lives, that You would show us maybe there's something we've been holding back from You. For some reason, could be something small or something big, but whatever it is, it belongs in Your hands instead. God, we ask that You'd help us to look to You as we witness for You, as we live our daily lives for You, and Father, as we need Your comfort and Your strength at times, even tonight, may You get the glory and the victory. And Father, certainly we need Christ to save us, to save us. That's the first step, is receiving Him as Savior. If there's anyone listening tonight, Father, who has not done that, I pray You'd show them that need can be met right here, right now. Pray for Your help. In Jesus' name, amen. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. With no one looking around, please, would you stand with me? Would you stand with me? Perhaps God's shown you something that He wants you to talk to Him about. Prayer is the first step to getting it in line with the Lord. And maybe He's shown you, I need to talk to Him about this, about the situation or event. Maybe there's something He just says, will You trust Me about this? Would You trust Me with this? We know the Lord can handle it, but sometimes we wait to give it to Him. Let's start right off the bat. Let's start right off the bat. Heavenly Father, I pray You'd use this time of invitation for Your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If God's using that, speaking to you, would you respond as the piano softly plays the song we'll sing in just a moment? But as she begins to play, would you respond? Talk to the Lord. Say, hey, just like You gave victory in Scripture, would You give victory here in this event? You know all about it. And give it to Him.